Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I think it's. I mean,
Ben
nails
doesn't
don't
know.
Grow.
He doesn't relate because he didn't shower or swim.
Ever.
Hope you're recording that
forever and ever.
I'll tell you one thing I don't do is a lot of times I don't wash like below the knee. Like I don't get my shins or my feet.
Well, dude, I don't.
You probably
I mean,
should wash your feet, your toes, and your
just
feet.
Just wash the areas
sure.
that smell bad.
Good. All right, so I'll intro the show.
Sure.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I'll intro the podcast. You intro the show. Like, hey, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Blair Morrison. You intro the guests.
Oh, I'll intro the guest. Yeah. Okay, and we're sitting here with Margo Alvarez right. and Alex. Alex
and
Margo.
Since you obviously know more information about it already.
The 3-time CrossFit Games athlete?
Correct.
Okay.
And one of the only girls that knows how to climb a pegboard.
Oh, hey. As soon as I say 3-time CrossFit Games athlete, you say, and one of the only girls that knows how to climb a pegboard, and then whatever you're about to say right there, you say that.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
All right. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Blair Morrison.
And I'm Ben Alderman. We're sitting here with 3-time CrossFit Games athlete Margo Alvarez.
And one of the only girls that knows how to climb a pegboard.
There were 2 other girls that climbed the pegboard at the games as well. So there's a good 3 handful of us that completed all 3. But there were others that also climbed it maybe once or twice.
But none that did it so nicely as you.
Well, that's thank you. Thank you for the
there
compliment.
There was a really ugly struggle everywhere else.
Yeah, it was definitely something new and challenging. I thought it was actually going to be a mountain climbing wall of some sort. So,
wait,
was,
like your prediction beforehand?
Yeah, like someone was saying, like it's a big wall, or because you could see like a black sheet over it, and I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be mountain climbing. I'm like, well, I've done that once before, so that'd be kind of cool. And then,
wait, so you had not climbed a pegboard ever?
I climbed it once before at CrossFit Strong. I was working a seminar, and Gail Yoakum, his gym,
uh-huh.
we were during break. He's like, oh, I got a pegboard. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I like tried it, got halfway up, and then failed, like couldn't keep going, so I just dropped and came off. I was like, oh, that's something I definitely need to work on. And then a week before we left for the games, our gym, Get Lifted, had gotten one or installed one of their own that they had made.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's perfect. That's cool. I'll try when I get back from the games. I've got other things I've got to work on, like gymnastics.
All right, so that's not exactly what I was expecting you to say, because we have 4 pegboards at my gym, and I watch people try and fail on them all the time, and it's 100% like a technique issue of like where you put your leverage, and it's not hard strength-wise for athletes of the games caliber, but you could tell nobody knew what they were doing. But you were doing it like it exactly the way that you were supposed to do. So I was expecting you to say, oh, yeah, like I used to wrestle in high school or something. And we climb pegboards every day.
So that actually came to my coach, Alex, over here.
It was the golfing that did it.
Yes, the golfing. No.
So this is your coach, Alex? I thought this was your boyfriend. I'm sorry.
He is my coach and boyfriend.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hey, thanks.
You're on with Beyond the Barbell. Pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. My first show ever.
So did you ever program in pegboards once they got to the gym, or was that something that you guys just happened to show up, and it just happened to show up at the games, but there's really no correlation whatsoever?
I saw the pegboard, and I pretty much kicked myself in the ass because we never really did them. But I think the carryover was the ring ice cream makers. Mm. We do a lot of that stuff, and I think it's a good carryover.
Yeah, because she's supporting her body weight with a bent arm at the top, right? That's actually a really smart carryover.
So we've done a lot of like a gymnastics accessory in that movement or in that aspect. And so when we saw it released, I was like, all right, well, on the last heat, we're going to like just go practice a little bit in the back, try to mimic the aspect. We did a little couple ice cream makers, and we try to mimic the shifting of the weight to one hand and like mm-hmm. shifting the weight to the other side and like on the rings. And obviously it's a different format, not a pegboard, but the kind of visualize that. And then the biggest thing for me is like I visualized it in my mind, and then I was like, this is my plan, get through each rep or each climb one at a time, and then get to the calorie or get to the row, and then get to the bike. So I think obviously a big component of it is from having the ability to do it. Like you said, it's a skill. It's not that people can't do it, but it's a technique, like similar movements. But at the same time, it was like, I think visualizing it and saying, all right, one climb at a time.
I think too, in the background, during the games, you see a lot of people, they were practicing, but they didn't have the pegboard. So what they were using is like a pole to try to climb up. It's a total different leverage.
Climbing up a pole?
Yeah. It's sort of like the poles that were on the rigs.
Oh, so they're like pulling on it and then
pushing. They're pulling their butts backwards. It's so it's different. Yeah. Different leverage. You're seeing that a lot of that. I mean, you can't really go up to do that this way. You know.
Were you guys able to watch in the back the other heats go?
Not really, no.
I mean, a little bit. Like, they had it on the TV, but The hardest thing was like, all right, if I spend too much time trying to watch the TV, then I'm like, I'm cutting on my warm up or I'm cutting on my time to practice. So like, you could see it, and it's like I'd glance in for a little bit, sat for a little bit, and I was like, all right, I need to finish warming up or I need to get ready. But it's like, for me, I'm a visual, so like, I like to see things, visually see things, but also like, can I apply it? So I like, we talked about it and like mimicked it kind of in the air and then practice on the rings. And I think that was great. But it's like, all right, now incorporate it. Like you said, you heard Dave Castro say it's going to be back. It's coming back. So it could be maybe not the end of the day or the end of the weekend, but it could be throughout the middle of the competition.
Sure.
And it'll probably be legless. So it actually, at the games, you saw it with like the plastic board and you could have your feet up against the wall. If you take your feet off where it's just solely your core and your body, 10 times harder.
Yeah, that's not even the same thing at all.
Oh, not at all.
I mean, honestly, there's less technique involved when you take your feet away.
Yeah. Totally.
It's like just pure
strength.
Were you surprised that you and two other girls were the only ones who really could master, or did you kind of feel like that was going to happen?
I mean, I did not know. Like when the pegboard came out, I was like, man, like the last time I played on this was at that seminar in Dallas. And I was like, let's cross my fingers and hope this goes well. Like I hadn't watched too many of the previous heats because they had like the girls go, the guys go, and then the final group of girls, final group of guys. So when I got to it, I was like, I don't know where everyone else got. Like my biggest thing was like get through the climbs, get as far as I can through and get through like if I can the dumbbells. And so when I finished the last climb, I was like, oh, yes. And I mean, I didn't really notice where everyone else was at, but I was like, I just kept rowing. And then I got to the bike, and I was like, just go as hard as I can. And then when the time cap was up, I like went balls out at the end because it's like, again, I don't know where anyone else is. And the thing is, I think I can't speak for other people, but it's like the people in your heat aren't necessarily the people you're competing for because there could be other people in other heats that did well, and that actually came to be the case. Amanda Goodman, she had gotten – I think she was – like she got 2 calories less on the bike than me. I think I finished all the calories and she was 2 reps behind me because people, I guess, had asked her. Alex was in the stands and people were saying, why is she going all out? Why isn't she safe for the next workout? And it's like, man, I don't know where everyone else is at. If I give it my all and I go all out and I can win, hell yeah, why not? Because I remember I saw like a clip at the end and I'm the only person on the bike and I'm like a bat out of hell, like going crazy on the bike. I'm like, I look like a mad woman, but I don't care. Like I'm glad I did it because it's like that's the first workout I ever won.
Yeah, you don't get to win a games workout very often, right?
Right, no, that's pretty cool.
Not very often. So I'm like, man, like that was kind of like anything's possible. You just have to work your butt off and give it everything you got and you can't hold it back. Like, yeah, when I got off the bike, I was like, crap, my triceps are done. I don't know how these handstand pushups are going to go. But at the same time, that allowed me to say, all right, I have won first place in a games workout and that's an accomplishment. Not many people can say, and it's like I obviously hope
Ben,
to build on top of that.
Can you say that, Ben?
I can't either.
Hey, I can't say it either. I think the best I ever did was second. It was on one of the final day workouts, though, where the field
this
is like.
This is the part where, like,
down.
Normally I'm bragging about how heavy I lift, and you just flipped it on its head and you started bragging about how you got second place in the workout at the CrossFit Games, and I've never even been there.
You
before.
Know what that workout was?
You and Margo can just talk, okay? You guys can talk about what it's like to take top 3, top 2, whatever at a CrossFit. So this was like your best finish at the CrossFit Games, correct? You finished?
Yes. I finished 9th overall.
Top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
How big of a jump did you make?
So in 2014, I finished 34th, and then.
The last event.
Oh, the last event. I think it was just.
Last day she was going in 17th, and then she finished after the pegboard, she jumped up to 8th. I'm sorry. So then she jumped up to 8th after that workout, and then finished at 9th or 10th. 10th, right? 9th, sorry.
Because the second pedal of the medal was handstand pushups, is that correct?
Deficit
handstand pushups, which has been a weakness of yours. I know just because I know you. Let's just talk about handstand pushups and like overhead movements for you because I know that that's been. That's kind of the last part of your game that's come along.
Yeah.
Is that a fair thing to say?
Agreed. So it's definitely have been – overhead movements, period, has been definitely a struggle for myself. I mean, I think back to before I started CrossFit. Like, I used to run a lot, like, just for fun. I loved running. So it's like I had that endurance for the lower body. But then upper body was like, all right, the only thing I really did overhead was, like, maybe – some dumbbell presses or bicep curls or, like,
running
rows.
With 5-pound dumbbells.
Exactly. Yeah, right? But, I mean, I think back to, like, 2014, like, right before the games, like, right after regionals, I found out I broke my rib, left rib, and I was like, well.
How'd you do that, by the way?
So I think it was just a combination of probably a lot of handstand pushups within a month. Just a lot of strict handstand pushups in 1 month prepping for regionals, because that is probably by far one of the weaker movements for myself. And then I think it was just one day I was doing some jerks and I brought it back down to my shoulder. I was like, man, I think I like tweaked my neck. Cause I've done it like where you tweak something, you just pull something. You're like, oh, it's a little sore. Range of motion's a little short. After a couple of days, it comes back. But then it wasn't really coming back. It wasn't really getting better. I was like, man, I must have really pulled something. And like I could go wide and do snatches, but anytime I did jerks or cleans, it just killed. And as soon as I'd stop the movement, it was like, ah. And then I went down to San Diego to train at a friend's gym in Chula Vista. And I was trying to do front squats and it was excruciating. I was like, I can't even do like 185 for reps. And I was like, they just released one of the workouts, an overhead squat to max. I was like, well, that's awesome. Like we essentially cut out handstand pushups, handstand walks, jerk, snatch, anything overhead. Just try to like do as much as we can. And it was frustrating because it's like I already am weak at that. And now I'm cutting this out in order to get ready for the games. Like we knew kind of going into it, like this is going to be frustrating, but I'm not going to not go. Like I just qualified again for the second time. Like I'm going to go. So going to the games, we did as much as we could. But then afterwards, it was like, all right, got an x-ray, still broken. What am I going to do? Well, I want to go back. So F it, going to keep training, do as much as we can. And it's gotten a lot better. I'll have a little bit like residual pain here and there, but it was something like we knew we had to work on. So from last year to this year, definitely worked on overhead and got stronger. Strict deficits are still a weakness. Parallel handstand pushups. And the one at the games in 2015 were 14-inch deficit. Like, I mean, I PR'd. I got three, I think. So that's definitely a rep. But obviously now it's like, all right, I need to be able to do multiple reps at a 14-inch deficit and eventually
14 inches is so far.
Yeah, I think 14. I mean, might have 12. I'm pretty sure it's 14. So I'm like,
that's pretty much full range of motion.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the way down.
Yeah, so I mean,
I find it pretty easy.
Of course you do. So the goal now is to be able to do strict deficit handstand pushups, but also kipping deficit handstand pushups. Yeah. So it's been definitely a challenge. Just going to build on top of it. And it's hard because, I mean, it takes time. Unfortunately, you know how long time takes. It's like you can't rush the process. And that's kind of something we've talked about in our journey together is just enjoying the process. And it's like if you take a step outside of CrossFit, like, yes, it's a big goal. And yes, it may be like, this is a big issue. But it's like in the long term or the bigger picture, it's like we exercise for fun. People come to watch us exercise. Like, what are we doing? Like, obviously, we have certain goals, but at the same time, we can't make it to the point where we're dying or we're crying over and we're killing ourselves over certain movements. And it's like, hey, I'll eventually get better. So that was a lot of talking. Sorry.
It's all right. Talk a little bit about, like, obviously, Margo is your girlfriend, also one of the athletes that you coach for. Talk about the dynamic of improving a weakness of hers, right? She says, like, you know, obviously, overhead stuff is difficult. I mean, what is that like? Obviously, it's a struggle. Coaching someone that you're involved with personally versus coaching somebody that you're strictly professionally involved with?
I think the complexity is made easier just because of who Margo is. I mean, she's got a real thick skin. So I can go into the gym and say, hey, I got my coaching hat on right now, so I'm about to tell you something. And we can discuss that. And then she's got the type of skin where she hears it, she'll do something about it, and then we'll – you know, move on from that conversation. So I think a lot of it is just Margo, who she is as a person. So, yeah.
I think the funny thing is, I mean, I was talking to you just about an hour ago when we were training, and I said, you know, when I first saw Margo, I felt like so clearly the strength of her game was her mental approach. And it was very, very clear is what it seemed like. You know, and so
for our podcast listeners, Alex had a big like eye roll emoji.
Yeah, that was perfect. Yeah, it was like the big eye emoji. Yeah, it was like that was you. But now it seems like that has balanced out a little bit, and it doesn't seem like she's just mentally stronger than she is physically. You know what I mean? Like it seems like now the fitness side has kind of caught up. And I mean, it's obvious. It's,
you're not just trying real hard.
Yeah, she's not just trying super hard. Like, she's out there, and she's super fit.
I think one of the cool things about Margo is that 4 years ago, she said, I want to go to the CrossFit Games, which is a real big deal to say that out loud and tell a lot of people and voice it, right? So that's the difference between Margo and a lot of people. She had the courage to say, I want to do whatever it takes, and then actually do that. The first time we worked out together, though, she threw a fit, like, missing a 95-pound snatch. So I kind of, like, saw that right away. I was like, well, we need a lot of mental prep. So we went and got a sports psychologist, and then it was like 4 years ago. She had, you know, nobody even knew who she was or whatnot, but I thought it was important back then. So he helped me, and she had also a life coach, right?
Yeah.
That with her sister's passing has been helping her with deal with those issues. So it was me, the psychologist, and the life coach. We've all been like kind of just being able to talk to her every day about life and what's more important than competing. It's life, right? And just who you are as a person. And I mean, and it's helped me out a lot as well. So you just see the growth of her as an athlete every year, just get stronger mentally. So it's been cool. The physiological part, that's the easy part. You just go in and every day do something different. Mm-hmm. Your body's gonna adapt. That's what it does. So it's the point is, can you go in every day after day, and just do what you suck at? Mm-hmm. And very few people can. Very few people want to. They'll BS you with, oh, it's because of this or that. But this one here, this girl here, she'll fight hard every day, no matter what. So that's, yeah, it's kind of cool. I'm lucky in that sense. I won the lottery because she's definitely that type of person where, like, wow, she motivates you every day, you know?
Yeah, that's very cool. I'm really curious, like, with, you know, you brought it up about your sister. Like, I feel like that could easily be something that could be maybe one of your biggest distractions. And one of the things that maybe is a thing that would discourage you from pushing on. But it seems like at times, it seems like the biggest motivator for why you push on, right? How do you use it as a positive rather than a negative?
Yeah.
And at times, is it a negative? And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally. I would say, I mean, the biggest thing, like when I look at my sister and I think of the life that she lived or how she lived, it was the attitude of like, oh, like every day is like kind of like a bank account. Like you have this amount of time or this amount of money to enjoy. It doesn't roll over. You don't get to like pull out of it tomorrow. So it's like she would live each day to its fullest. And I know it's a phrase I've obviously posted about or put on social media or talk about a lot, but she was the epitome of that phrase. And so kind of seeing that through life, she's done that. And it's like, I remember one of the last memories we had was we went snowboarding with a big group of friends back in Montana. And at the end of the day, I came back and I was like, man, like I'm exhausted. I'm ready for bed. I have to leave tomorrow back to school. And she's like, oh, my girlfriends and I are going to go out. We're going to go drinking and we're going to have fun in downtown. You want to come? I was like, oh, man, dude. I was like, I'm about to curl up in a ball. And it's like in a ball. And it's like 7 o'clock at night right now. And she's like, okay, well, I'll see you in the morning, because she was going to go out and then just meet me at the airport the next day. So she ended up going out and like hanging out, and they ended up staying up late. I didn't see her in the morning, but I was like, all right, I'll see you later. But it's like she would live each day to its fullest. She would go out and have fun and like wouldn't hold back. And I think when she passed, like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks later, when I found out she passed, it was like, man, like obviously it was devastating, but it's like she lived each day like it was almost her last. And she had had a dream. Actually, I don't think I've shared this much, but she's had a dream or had like a feeling that she was going to pass away young. And she told it to my mom. And after she passed, my mom had shared that with me. And I was like, man, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. But I think when that happens, and like for me, I had a dream going back to Montana from Hawaii. She shared, or I had a dream. Like I was at the top of a Waikiki apartment, even though I didn't live down there. And I see her at the, the balcony. And it's like super windy out, crazy, hair is blowing everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, she's there. So I go to open the door. And she's like, I can't come in, but I'm okay. And then I wake up. And I'm like, I try to fall back asleep to like pick up on where that dream left off. But it's like, I think it was her way of saying like, where I'm at, I'm okay. And it's like, I think her way of telling me, hey, like go do your thing and like just live life. And so when she passed, I think that was my kind of inspiration. I'm like, hey, like even though it's been tough, she would obviously want us, my family, friends to go on and continue to live life. And so that's been a huge motivator kind of each day. It's like, she may not be here and people that aren't here with us, like they don't have the opportunity to still live life. So for us, it's almost like we should take not advantage of it, but take advantage of the opportunity and make the most of our life. And so I think as I go into each thing, like she may not be with me physically, but spiritually, I think she has been with me. And I think she's helped me in certain aspects of certain workouts or just being with me and being that strength. Because it's like, again, we're not guaranteed the next day, month, year, whatever. And I think it's hard because we can get wrapped up in that and we can get caught up in, especially in the gym, like all PRs or this or that. And it's like, the bigger picture is like enjoy the time with the family and friends you have, because nothing is guaranteed long term or whatever. Not that you want to look at it as a negative aspect, but you want to say, hey, let me appreciate the time that I do have, because it's very, very precious.
Yeah. And whatever your goals are, if they're important to you, you got to go for it, right?
Yeah. And I think that's something that has motivated me. Like, I'm like, I'm going to just say like whatever I want to do, like this is what I'm going to do. Cool. If I don't do it, but I try my hardest to get there, awesome. Back in 2011, when I said I want to go to the games, if I never made it, then hey, at least I tried getting there. And right. I think that's the biggest thing for anyone. It's like, if they say, hey, I want to do this, cool, man, do it. Like, what's stopping you? Because if you go your life and you're like, man, I wish I would have done it, and it's like, you never tried, then you won't ever know. And I think that's for me, that's what I try to look at it, whether it's CrossFit or anything else, or you want to climb a mountain, or you want to like run a marathon, or you want to do whatever, like take that chance because you may not have that chance later.
Yeah, so good. So motivating, I think, because a lot of people have dreams and they just don't follow them. You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
And they don't have, you know, for as tragic as it is, you don't have like a significant life event that forces you into a good perspective. And so people kind of live a life in this bubble, you know, where they didn't lose their sister. They didn't lose anything. And so they've never experienced that. So they don't know what it's like. They basically live their life in fear and they don't ever step out and really try those things.
That was one of the biggest things that we came up with, this mantra that we have every day. Be accountable, prepare and execute, review your work, be patient, and enjoy the journey, right? That's the biggest part, enjoy the journey. And you see a lot of times that people are doing these things and, you know, they're posting PRs on IG, but then you talk to them personally and they're just miserable because they're chasing something. And they don't know what they're really chasing, and that's kind of interesting. If you're not happy, then why are you doing it, you know? There's so many other things you can do. So just be happy doing whatever you want to do and don't answer anyone. Just follow your dreams and but be happy doing them. It's basically what we try to preach.
Is getting to that point as easy as just, I mean, obviously like a tragic event for you, Margo, that kind of brought that into focus, but you also went through time with like life coach and, you know, with a sports psychologist. Like, is that a lot of work to kind of get your mindset to that point?
Yeah.
Because Alex, you're talking about these people out there who, maybe they aren't in focus yet. They don't know why they're doing these things. But talk about the work it takes to get there.
Every day you have these conversations with your athletes. Every day you're talking about the psychology, and I don't think too many people focus on the psychology. And I'm not a psychologist. She's not a psychologist. But we just live life, and we understand the meaning of it and how beautiful it is, right? And we all get in ruts, and we all have to like remember why we're doing something. And you have a close network of friends that support you, and you get rid of those toxic relationships that are around you, and you start seeing that people will actually support you, talk to you, and help you. And those are the people you want around you. So every day you talk to somebody, every day you try to, yeah, but your question is basically, yeah, it's not easy. It's just as hard as getting a squat to where you want it to be. The mind is tough for sure.
I think what you said right there, the fact that you talk about it, like I think verbalizing things and conversating with people about whatever is a difficult issue in your life, if it's, you know, why am I working so hard, or why is my relationship so difficult, or, you know, how do I deal with death, or, you know, all these things. My experience has been, as soon as you vocalize it and get some feedback from somebody, no matter if it's a great conversation or a crappy conversation, it just seems easier to deal with, you know? And I feel definitely like that's a really important piece that people just, you got to talk about this stuff.
We talked about that with Jenny LaBaugh, right, with her epilepsy. We talked about with Shay about her type 1 diabetes. Like, as soon as you start verbalizing things, there's a freedom in it, right? Like, you're no longer held captive by that negativeness. Like, it's still there. It was still a tragedy, or it was still something that happened, but you're able to acknowledge it and then move on, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to you guys' laws of how you guys deal with things, right? The prepare and execute and then enjoy the journey. Like, unless you are willing to talk about it, there's a certain amount where it's just always a problem.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think it applies, again, to everything in life. Like, if you look at it, a coaching aspect in the gym, someone's squatting and they're like, ah, it looks good. And they're like, knees are kind of caving in, they're kind of coming to the toes. It's like, well, they could get better, but if the coach doesn't tell them that, hey, maybe wiggle your toes a little bit, sit back more in your heels, or drive your knees out a little bit more, lift the torso up. It's like, you've got to have that communication. And then in life, like talking about maybe touchy subjects about family passings or people splitting up, it's like, you got to take the time to talk about it. I mean, it may be difficult, but that's a part of it. Like, I know in my experience with my sister passing, like for some of my family members, it was tough, and tougher on others. And it's like, you have to take the time to talk about it. You have to take the time to really dive in. And it's like, yeah, it's gonna be emotional, but it's like, it's worth it. Like, you may cry your eyes out and bawl, but you'll feel better afterwards. Or you may struggle through a workout, but it's like, you'll be better afterwards. And it's like, you go through life and you're like, man, to regret stuff or say, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have told this person, or I wish I would have gone out with my sister to hang out. It's like, you can't like feel sorry for yourself. You can't pity yourself. I mean, you can, but it's like, how are you going to move forward? How are you going to live, enjoy the rest of your life, or do what you want to do? And I'm hoping with everything that I'm doing to reach my goals and our goals, I'm hoping that in the long run that we can inspire someone, at least if it's one person, to go for their goal or to find their passion. If that inspires them and then that one person inspires another, cool, man. Like, that's awesome. That's better than nothing, you know? It may not be 100 people, but over time it might be. And that's a bigger goal, is like being able to help people and give back so that they eventually find their happiness or their own success.
Right. And kind of like, just to shift gears a little bit about what you guys are doing for other people. You mean, you're out here in California right now. Talk a little bit about what you guys are doing coaching wise and programming wise, and kind of how you're kind of spreading what you've learned kind of through each other to other athletes.
Yeah. So we have a team, it's called Team Entropy, of athletes who just train together. We've got Katie Hogan, Lauren Adams, Margo Alvarez. We've got Nicole Christensen. She's up in Colorado. Gordon, he's here also. And a guy in Seattle, and Meg Reardon down in SoCal. So,
John,
yeah, well, Seattle.
Montana,
sorry. Close enough, sorry. Anyways, that's our team. Team Entropy is basically, entropy is just like just chaos, right? Controlled chaos is what I call it. So it's just cool to see CrossFit, how chaotic it can be in the programming, but it's actually, if you see the beauty in it, it's just awesome. So we named it that, and we all get together from time to time and just work out and train. And everybody has the same goal, and it's just to get to the games, and that's what we came here to do, is just train for a week, go up to Montana, train for a week there, and come back here and train. That's basically it, really. We became friends with Ben 2-3 years ago. We came and did the Iron October 1st, yeah, and then he was a really cool guy, so we came back for the Iron Mile.
That's debatable.
No, it's true, it's true. It's believable, it's true.
It's debatable.
It's true. And then so we came
when
back.
You're not very good looking, you have to be super nice. And so that's what I try to do. I try to be really nice.
Oh my gosh.
So that's basically what we do. That's basically what we're doing, is just training with a bunch of our team members. Yeah.
It's been nice to be able to come back and make trips. I mean, after living here for 6 years, I moved here in 2008 and we left last year. So it's like, it's nice to come back and train people maybe that we trained before or haven't. I mean, Kirsten and Matt, they're awesome. So it's always good to see them. I absolutely love them to death. So, being able to have our team kind of come together, because we have teammates, but usually when you think of teammates, they're usually in the gym and you train with them,
right,
almost
like
every
day to day.
Yeah, day to day. And that's not necessarily our case. So it's a little different, but it still has that opportunity to, you know, let's train with other people. Because when I'm in the gym, it's usually just Alex and myself, or if we're at Get Lifted, then it's like we're at that gym. And we're training with anyone that hops in with what I'm doing. If not, then we're around other people, but we're not necessarily doing the same workouts.
Right.
So it's nice to be able to come together. And again, it'll kind of stimulate when you're in a situation where you're with other people or training with other people. But it's awesome to be able to help and give back and, again, help people get better and reach their goals, again, whatever it may be. It's an amazing experience.
You know, we put on our social media that you were coming on the show, and a few people asked questions, and so this is like some IG questions, and I feel like with you guys being here, like, it'd be really easy to talk for a couple hours on the show, but
yeah,
we all have to eat, we have to work out more, but
more,
we want to get to some, yeah, do some more muscle ups. We've only done like 100 today. So but before we go, there's some questions here, and one really good question I thought was the very first question we got from Josh Settledge. I don't know who he is, but he asked a question about competing in the Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
And did it give you a good sense of team competition and make you possibly want to go team at the games in the future?
So, I mean, that's awesome. Thank you, Josh, right, for the question.
Yep. USA, USA.
It was an amazing experience. In terms of team competition, I've done some team competition before, but on a smaller scale. So this was the first time as a team member on Team USA at the Invitational, which very honored to be able to be selected for that. It was obviously great. I've trained a little bit with some of the individuals before. We had a team with Rogue for the team series, so I got experience with training with Rich there. But it was a great experience, and maybe in the future when I decide to stop competing as an individual, I may eventually go team if life takes me that way. As of now, though, I'll continue to compete as an individual. I mean, it's obviously, it takes a lot of work, like whether individual or team. Team, I think, requires more communication between the members and just really knowing, okay, what everyone's strengths and weaknesses are, and just being able to communicate throughout the entire day, throughout the entire workout. So it was definitely an awesome opportunity.
But physically, it was a lot nicer being on a team, right?
It's definitely different. Like, it definitely required a lot of, like, it's hard because team is, it may seem not as much volume, but the intensity is a lot higher because you're kind of going all out and then resting, and then all out and then resting. So it's a just different type of training. It's still good, though, because for me, that it's a different element of my training. So hopefully make me better in some aspects.
There.
Exactly. A little bit of variety.
That's funny. I remember talking to Blair because he was, I looked up to Blair for a long time as an individual competitor. And he's nodding his head, but at times it still is surreal doing a podcast with him and, you know, working out with him and stuff. But
it's hard being somebody's idol.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
It's
really tough.
Ben's looking up to me all the time.
It's really tough, I'm sure.
That's funny.
But I don't know where I was going with that. I lost my train of thought.
It was about the team.
The team. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he told me the first time he went team, he's like, you know, it's the opposite as with individual competition, because in an individual workout, the nerves are gone because you're just focusing on working, right? But before the workout, you may get nervous and get butterflies. But with a team competition, in between workouts, there is no nerves because you're hanging out and having fun. And then in the workout, you're watching your teammate go, and you're nervous for them, and then you go, it's your turn, and then you come back, and so that kind of dynamic is kind of interesting, I thought, and I don't know.
Yeah.
So I bring that up.
I remember saying that, and that's definitely how I feel. Like, when you're part of a team, there's a lot that's out of your control, so you kind of get anxious, and you want people to do really well for them, and but also for the good of the team, and that kind of creates like an in-workout anxiety that's not present during an individual workout, in my experience. Like, individual workout, all of the nerves are leading up to it. And then it's like, God, finally this thing has started, and like, I can actually just do the work, right?
Right.
And feel the pain.
I feel the pain.
So I'm just going to make this the final question we get from the IG. And you can go on these and maybe answer them later if you have time, Margo.
Right.
But
cool.
One question is from Roman J916. I actually know Roman. He's a really good dude. And he's asking a question. How do you push through the times when you don't feel like training?
That's a very good question.
Right? Do you ever have those times? Or do you have times like that, or are you just ready to go all the time?
I definitely have times like that, and I think it's hard because I kind of get wrapped in more about the numbers, or I'm kind of like almost like the rabbit hole where I'm stuck in looking at the small picture, like, oh, my times or this or that. And a good example was just recently. It was right before the Invitational. I did Jackie as a workout, and it was, I was before, like a couple hours before, I was like, yeah, cool, no worries, I'm just gonna do this. I've done this like plenty of times leading up to the 2013 regionals and since then, and I just created a lot of anxiety and like stress, because it's like I wanted to PR and I wanted to get better. It's like, not that I'm not gonna get better if I do this workout, but it's like I put a lot of stress and pressure on myself, and I got so focused on that small part where it's like, oh, I don't even want to do it anymore. And so when I have days like that, that's where we'll have these long, deep conversations sometimes, but it's great because it puts things in perspective. And it's like, my goal is like, all right, I wanted sub 6:10, and I got like 6:16. And I was like, that would have been 6 seconds, plus or minus six seconds. And it's like, in the big scheme of it, it's like, yes, every second counts, but in the big scheme of it, it's like 6 seconds. You're going to lose sleep or stress about and like freak out about 6 seconds. Like, it's not worth it. Like, competition is obviously where everything counts. Like, cool, you PR this or you PR that. And it's like, that's great, you're getting fitter, but it's like, competition is where everything comes together. So this is training, this is practice, and I can't beat myself up about it. And that's hard because I sometimes I want to be a perfectionist sometimes, where everything matters and everything should line up and be perfect, and it's not always going to be like that. So I definitely have days where, oh man, I really don't want to train. But it's like, bigger picture is like, hey man, I'm just coming in and getting better, I'm doing the work. And it's like, think of it, we try to reference this a lot, it's like a checklist. This is my work, like, cool, this is just the work I'm going to come to do, this is my job in a sense, and I'm just going to check these things off my list. And so again, putting it in perspective and saying, hey, you know, what's the bigger picture? Like, just accumulate time, reps, whatever. If I do worse in a workout or better, it's like at least I came in and did the work,
right? I think it's really helpful, just to piggyback on what you're saying. On days like that, when it is training, not competition, you focus on the stimulus rather than the results. So, okay, what was the point of this workout? Like, what was my body supposed to get out of it? And did I get that? Yeah. Now, if you like mentally quit halfway because, you know you're not going to PR, then don't be mad at yourself because you didn't PR. Be mad at yourself because you didn't get the stimulus that the training was intended, right? And some days you're just not going to be at your best. And that's okay, because you can still get better if you go to that the right place, right? If you get the stimulus that was intended, you're still going to improve, even though you weren't, you know, at your best or your freshest or whatever. But I think everybody has those days for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing. Yeah, big thing to talk about. I mean, I look at like days where I'm sick, or I'm like, man, I remember I was really sick, and I was kind of trying to get back off of just doing something in the gym. I was doing like 175 pound clean and jerk, like on the minute for like 10 minutes, and I was dying. It felt like it was like my one rep max, but I was like, hey man, I'm at least here doing the work. And also, it's also could be a mental test. Like, sometimes, cool, here's a workout, all right, cool, and then it's like, Alex is like, hey, that was actually a mental test more than anything, but it's good because it's like, you have to do that. And the mental test sometimes can almost be better than the physical, because it's like that's where you got to really work out and stay calm. And that's where the entropy comes, where it's like the controlled chaos is like, as much as it's being crazy on the outside, you got to stay calm on the inside. And it's like I always try to use the analogy. I've talked about this with my life coach, like a hurricane or a tornado. It's like, it's crazy. There's so much going on the outside, but the inside is very calm. And that's how your mind needs to be like. And that's what working on the mental aspect will help you with.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I think my personality is severely affected by food. And if I don't eat something pretty soon,
you're going to get grumpy, bro.
Yeah, we're going to get grumpy. So if this podcast goes another 8 minutes, I'm going to eat this microphone and then just leave you guys.
Well,
here.
Let's just like table the conversation. Then we'll continue another time, maybe in Montana.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this Montana trip sounds pretty dope.
Yeah. I mean, if it's as pretty as El Paso.
Yeah.
I see what you did there,
Margo.
So to reference all the listeners, I once said on our last podcast that El Paso is kind of like Montana because of the mountains. And then Blair pretty much died laughing.
It hasn't been my experience.
I'm going to go back and forth to the two and see. I'll be the judge.
Yeah, you can be an impartial judge.
But you definitely
impartial.
Should come to Montana because it's gorgeous there. It's
Montana
amazing.
Montana is gorgeous.
Is this over? Because I'm just like not nervous anymore. No,
now you're ready.
Warming up.
Yeah,
I'm ready to talk. Ready to let's talk. Do this.
Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. If people want to follow you and what you're doing, how do they do that?
So I have my Facebook account.
Because your goal, out of curiosity, your goal this year is to win the CrossFit Games. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct. That's my goal is to win the games, get first at the games. So
bring
I have
back to America.
Yes, that's the goal. So my Instagram is 321GO, GAUX, as in my name, and then Twitter, same thing, and then Facebook. I can't add any more friends because I'm capped. But I have an athlete page that people can.
Is
check
it true
out.
That Iron Mile athletes message you and ask you to do things for them? Because I heard that happens, and you actually get back to them.
Yeah, no. Donna messaged me. She's like, "Can you teach the 6 o'clock class?" I was like, "I don't know if I can teach a class, but I was like, I might be there still, so you can come hang out." She's like, "Okay." She was really sweet. It was awesome. I definitely do try to get back to people. It's hard sometimes if I'm traveling or training all day. It kind of piles up like messages, but I definitely try to get back to people. And then for Alex.
You guys don't want to follow me. There's nothing there to watch.
Well, but, you repost stuff about.
Yeah, so it's XFit Alex. What is it?
XFit
Alex 1. I don't have a Facebook, and you can call me or text me.
at Margo's.
And
number.
Then our website is preparenexecute.com. I try to write some blogs sometimes. Blogs, yeah, they're pretty cool. I think I write okay. And then we also have our Margo's daily programming on there. And then we'll do some videos and where we talk about psychology, workouts, physiology, things like that.
Yeah, that's really interesting stuff. So if you guys want to get behind the curtain a little bit, preparingexecute.com, that's a good place to go find out.
We'll do a lot of stuff on there. And then we have Prepare and Execute on IG as well. We'll try to post some stuff on there to at least give a little bit of like insight for that stuff. We just try to, again, give back to people, help as much as we can. And then people want to be able to follow the programming. That's where they can sign up for that.
All right, and you guys pretty much know where to follow us. We're going to go eat.
All right, thanks,
awesome.
Mario.
Thank you. I appreciate it.